Hallelujah. Well, I want to share today sick part two of what I started last week. Because today, I think, officially, is if you want to have official things in the global church calendar, today is known as the day of Pentecost. Why the word Pentecost? Pentecost is a fancy word, fancy way of saying 50. 50 days from the time Jesus was crucified to the time the Holy Ghost was poured out and an official fulfillment of the redemptive program of God. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't just because some people were praying. It wasn't just because some people came into unity, which is important, but because it was an appointed day and God's eternal redemptive process for humankind and all creation, that this was the day, 50 days after Jesus was crucified to justify and to deal with the problem of sin for humankind forever. 50 days after that, it was time for Holy Spirit to be poured out on vessels that were made clean because the word of God had been received, faith had come, they recognized that Jesus was now resurrected and he was the Lord, and it cleared the way for Holy Spirit to come and take up residence in the believers. And they would become literal walking temples or places of the Holy Spirit's dwelling. This is so absolutely profound. Holy Spirit is not some sideshow for the church. He's not an as well as. He's not for the fringe. He's not for the radicals. To be ignored. He's not to be grieved. He's not to be quenched. He's not to be blasphemed against. He's to be absolutely central, very welcome, and absolutely highly esteemed. I was taught many, many, many years ago by somebody who was well-meaning that the Pentecostals had a problem because they talked too much about the Holy Spirit. And this was from a non-Pentecostal, a non-charismatic, somebody who was actually against what was happening in the earth at that time. And so somehow that lodged in me, and I had an unresolved, deep down fear that if I talked too much about the Holy Spirit or spoke to him or related to him more than I related Jesus or more I related to the Father, that somehow I was going to go into error. And then over a process of time and some revelation, some understanding, a shift began to come in my life where I realized, actually, Holy Spirit is the very presence of the Father himself. We know, because we are Trinitarian in theology, that means that we understand that God is one, but God is three. He's eternally existent as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Father, Word, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not less than the Son or less than the Word. Holy Spirit is not less than the Father. They have the same essence, of the same substance, eternally dwelling in perfect harmonious fellowship. They are the we that God said, let us make man in our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit are the eternal our. O-U-R. They are the we, that they are the us that God was speaking of when he said, let us create man in our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the first mention in Genesis 1:1-3, we see the earth, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without form and darkness was over the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded or hovered over the face of the waters, and then God spoke, which is the expression of the person of God, the Word, coming into the atmosphere of the Spirit where God was doing the creation and formation work and the ongoing creation that he began when he started the heavens and the earth. So right there we see Father, Son, Holy Spirit at work in perfect harmony, flowing together, moving together, working together to bring and to move creation forward. And then he says, let us create man in our image. When Jesus went back to the Father, Jesus said, look, it's profitable, guys, that I go to my Father. And they couldn't understand that, could not understand it in the slightest, really. Because he talked about the one who would come, the other Parakletos, the other Savior. The one who was like me, he said, he would be able to come. Because Jesus in his physical form could not occupy millions of believers. It would take the Spirit of God to be able to occupy millions of believers. When the disciples walked with Jesus on the earth, they were walking with the Word of God who was made flesh, who was living in a body that God had prepared for him through the womb of Mary. And God was incarnate in Jesus, in the Son of God, the living expression of God, the Passion translation says. But he was living in a physical form that people could relate to as a human being and touch as a human being, touched by as a human being, but also lived as the perfect Son of God, the last Adam, the second Adam, who would create a whole new line of humanity that would be sons and daughters of God carrying the image of God. But he was still limited in his physical form to one location. He said, when I go back to my Father, in John 14, I think it's John 14, 12, he said, he who believes in me, he or she, he who believes in me, these things shall he do and greater things shall he do because I go to the Father. And in Jesus going to the Father is the absolute pivotal moment in all of creation, because it's the fulfillment of what was prophesied and what the men and women of faith longed for. And it's the point of reference that we look back to when the sin issue of humankind was dealt with once and for all, and the whole new beginning of a whole new family of God could be initiated in that moment. And these new creation sons and daughters of God would then be cleaned up by the sacrifice of his blood, by that one blood offering, and become worthy habitations for the very presence of God himself on earth, just like Jesus was a perfect habitation for the Spirit of God on earth. So are you and I, habitations cleansed by the blood of the Lamb through faith, and able now to be carrying the presence of God on earth. So that's why it was important for Jesus to go back to the Father, because God himself, Holy Spirit himself, the person of the Trinity, we call the third person, but that's not third in terms of rank, it's third in terms of mention of name. Presence of God himself would come and be able to dwell in each of us personally. And each of us personally are living, walking temples of the presence and power and the person of God himself. This is what totally sets us apart from believers who were under the law, in that sense, the Mosaic law. They were under a school teacher. They were under a guardian. They were under somebody who had the jurisdiction of the child until the child reached an age where the father had stipulated that the child could receive the fullness of their inheritance. The law is pictured as that guardian that was in place to keep Israel on track until it could receive the inheritance, who was the person and power of the Holy Spirit, who could be given because the Christ had come. Because the sacrifice of the eternal Lamb of God had been done. And the sin issue that separated us from God, and that veil in the temple that had to keep us out from his holiness because we, in our sinful state, wouldn't be able to handle his holiness and his glory. All of that is now torn away, ripped up. And through Jesus Christ, we have direct access and direct fellowship with the Father himself, the creator of all things. This is why genuine Christianity is such an absolute miracle. It's not a philosophy. It's not a set of principles, although it's riddled with principles. It's a living relationship with the very God of the universe himself who created us, who has now enabled us to be filled with his very own presence. So how can we speak little or just relegate Holy Spirit away into some corner somewhere, given who he is? People say, oh, well, you let God move, really? No, God lets us live and move and have our being. And we get to partner with him, and we get to release his presence into the world around us. Don't give me this we let God move deal. That's, I know we say it and all that sort of thing, and we, you know, it's a compliment in some regards, but let's just think about what we're saying. I'm not a minister of the gospel that lets God move. I'm a minister of the gospel that God lets me live. And he's continued to let me live. And I get to cooperate with him, and I get to hear him, and I get to move with him, and whatever level of faith I'm at, and I want to keep growing, and God moves, and he lets me partner with him. And he lets me have the joy of seeing the results of his moving in people's lives. I get to. He gets to, I get to. So let's get the horse before the cart. I know we cooperate with him, we make decisions that we're going to step out in faith or not, but ultimately everything comes from the Father. It's all his power, it's all his grace, it's all his miracle grace, it's all his work. Every one of these testimonies, it was all the power of God. And if people, it took a while for the healing to fully manifest, it was because they were cooperating with him. It wasn't that they were letting him move, it's they were cooperating with him. And so Holy Spirit is God with us. So when we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome, what we're really doing is we're aligning our hearts in attitude and in recognition and in appreciation and acknowledgement of his presence. None of us like being ignored. How many people like being ignored? You can put your hands up. You don't. The person next to you won't hit you. How many people like being ignored? Okay, nobody. Nobody likes being ignored. That's good. Nobody likes being ignored. Nobody likes being ignored. And so we are not people who ignore Holy Spirit. We're people who are learning to lean into him, be conscious of him, acknowledge him. The word says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. People are trying to find direction in life, trying to find out what's happening. Acknowledge him. First thing, acknowledge him. God, you are. Holy Spirit, you are. Holy Spirit, you're with me. Holy Spirit, you've been sent to be with me. And Jesus said he would never leave me or forsake me. So the Holy Spirit has been sent. Holy Spirit has been sent to you to never leave you or forsake you. But he loves being acknowledged. He loves being acknowledged. He loves, everybody say after me, just say after me. He loves being acknowledged. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. You are the presence of God. You are God himself. We thank you for being with us. I apologize for the times that I've not acknowledged you, or I've ignored you, or I've disregarded your promptings. I apologize. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. I want to be more sensitive to you. I want to be more acknowledging of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to start in the Word. You see, As I said, I think I might have said last week, I'm not sure. We are spirit beings. I don't know how many in this room. 160, 170, 100, well, I don't know how many, 880, whatever. Plus our beautiful children and teachers. And so there are at least a couple of hundred spirits on this property right now. Plus a few more. There's some angels on this property right now. There are some demons hanging around, the odd person. Demons probably still lodged in the odd person's soul where there's been grief, pain, and there's perhaps haven't been forgiveness hasn't been released yet, or maybe something hasn't been repented of yet and a door hasn't been shut. So we just add a bit of a percentage on to allow for those squatters. So there's probably 300, 400, 500, 600 spirits. Because they don't just hang out alone, you know that, don't you? You got a few friends, you know. So we're constantly relating in a spirit realm. We are spirit beings. We're spirit people. Our spirit is the same kind of spirit. It's a human spirit, but it's been created by God. And so when we get born again, His spirit and our spirit are joined, are rejoined, and we are connected to the eternal power source. What happens when you get born again? Become one spirit with Him. So we are now, most of us here in this room are born again. I'd say most because I don't know if everybody is or not. I can't guarantee that. I can't say that. In some ways, I hope you're not everybody is born again, so there's an opportunity to get born again a bit in a little while. But eventually, I want everybody in this room to be born again. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we are connected to the eternal power support source. And that eternal power source, that the power of heaven is now actually resident within us. It's connected with our spirit. We are one spirit with Him. But our spirit also has a soul, a mind, our will, and our emotions, and enables us to communicate in a physical world. So we're in a body, at least for now. Our bodies are temporary. This physical flesh body is a temporary state of affairs, but our spirit is eternal. Our soul is eternal. And so this spirit that's living in this body, what gets expressed through this physical body into the world around me is what is in me. It's what's in my soul. It's what's in my spirit. And then because our spirit is connected to the eternal power supply, the person of the Holy Spirit who is the creator of all things, we are connected to the eternal power supply. So all His wisdom, creativity, all His unction, all His personality, the fruit of the Spirit, is now able to be accessed by our spirit to actually communicate that into the world around us. And we do it through our mind, our will, and our emotions, and through a physical body. We got that, right? We got that? Yeah. When you walk into the room, it's not just a body walking into the room. When you walk into the room, a spirit that's connected to the Spirit of God walks into the room. And that spirit relates through a soul and a body. So when you walk into a room, God Himself has actually walked into a room. This is what it is to be in Christ conscious. To be in Him and Him and us conscious. We have emotions and feelings and all that sort of thing and thoughts that try and interrupt the flow of that out of us. And some of that's to high degree, some of it's to low degree. But the bottom line is when you're born again and in Him, when you walk into a room, God walks into a room. You can tell when somebody carrying real evil stuff walks into a room because the atmosphere can go cold. It can become heavy and it feels dangerous and you feel unsafe. You don't quite know why. You feel like you need to leave the place, or something inside of you rises up and begins to push back against that evil that's just come into the room. Why? Because that person, for whatever reason, is carrying an evil spirit or a dark demonic spirit, and that spirit is trying to influence that world around him or her through that body. And so heaven's desire is to have a people on earth that have been cleaned up through the Word of God, made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, so they can be worthy recipients of the presence of the eternal Spirit of God, so that God could influence the world through us. That's why paying attention and giving Holy Spirit preeminence is so absolutely essential. Because the sons of God, the daughters of God, are led by the Spirit of God. More than ever before, the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be hungering for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit like it never has before. And there are men and women all up and down this nation, leaders all up and down this nation, who by the Spirit of God are coming to exactly the same place, and they're beginning to say and speak and seek in a whole new way that perhaps they haven't been open to before. And I am very encouraged with what I'm hearing. Not only for them, but also the feelings and the desires for myself to go deeper in the things of God, to have the Holy Spirit reveal more to me, but empower me more than I've ever been empowered in my life. That's my desire. And so we're spirit beings. We have a soul. We're living in these bodies. But whatever spirit is in us desires to influence the world around us. God wants to connect you and I to His eternal power source. He is the Spirit of the Father, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead and empowered Jesus' ministry of healing, miracles, signs and wonders in every dimension, and enabled Him to offer Himself as the sacrifice for sin and to endure the cross. The Holy Spirit empowered Him to do all of those things and more. So Genesis 1, we've been looking at that. How the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the deep. So there we have, right from the word go, the Spirit and the Word working together. That's why we're people of the Spirit and people of the Word. Then, of course, we skip a whole lot of stuff and we come down to Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and we see prophesied 400, 500 years before, round about that time, roughly 500, round about 450, 500 years before Jesus came, this prophecy by the prophet Joel. Feel free to correct me later if you find out what the actual date was. If I'm wrong on that date, it's at least 400 years, because there was 400 years of silence from the last prophet right through to when Jesus came, or John the Baptizer came. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward, after some other things that he talks about there, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Are you some of that flesh? Obviously, you're not all of it, but you're some of it. So the fact that you are a living person makes you a candidate for the outpouring of God's Spirit. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Point to somebody next to you and say, you shall prophesy. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Not just your sons. Not just your daughters. But your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now, it's not meaning that that's only old men can dream dreams and only young men can have visions. It's not saying that. It's just speaking of the fact that whether you're young and old, the spirit realm dimensions, the realms of the power of God, the realms of God will be opened up to us. And even if we're old, we're not redundant. We're not, our life doesn't mean little because we're now older. That's ageism, which is no different to racism. Have you ever heard the term pale, male, and stale? These people in the political realm, they get up themselves and they ridicule people of a certain color, a certain so-called class, and a certain whatever, gender. They call them pale, male, and stale. What is that? It's just another form of racism, and yet they're the very people who are crying out against racism. You can call me pale, male, and stale if you like, but I don't fancy your chances of living without pain. And it could be inflicted very quickly. In love, of course. Here we go. Verse 29, and also on your men servants and on your maid servants, every strata of society. From the very least in terms of human way of evaluating things, right through, God's pouring out a spirit on all flesh, on all people, sons, daughters, old men, young men, maid servants, men servants, every strata of society. Verse 3, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and coming and awesome day of the Lord. I like studying actually out the awesome day of the Lord. Some call it the terrible day of the Lord. It depends on which side you're on. For some, it's going to be very terrible. But for others, it's going to be truly awesome. Make sure on the right side. See, the prophetic realm opened up by the Spirit. The dream realm opened up by the Spirit. The vision realm opened up by the Spirit. Every level of society can receive. Both male and female would receive equally. Signs, wonders, cosmic signs, earthly and climatic signs, all before the great and awesome day of the Lord. I want to tell you, my friend, the closer we get to the awesome and terrible day of the Lord, depending on which translation you read, the more we need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because we need the dream realm opened up so God can speak to us. The vision realm opened up so God can speak to us. The prophetic realm opened up so God can speak to us. Signs and wonders and miracles like never before, because no man, woman, or child is going to be without excuse. Or, if that's the right way to say it, no man, woman, or child will have an excuse. And so that's not only upon us, it's also increasing upon us. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost before he started his ministry. And I'm going to rush through these now. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Jesus came to John the baptizer, his cousin at the river, the one who was the forerunner, the one prophesied in Isaiah, make straight the way of the Lord, and so on. Jesus presented himself to him and was baptized by him. And as soon as he was baptized, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit in the form or in the likeness of a dove came out and alighted upon him or rested upon him. The heavens were opened. God spoke to him, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then it says he was led by the Spirit up into the wilderness, and it's very much a wilderness where he went, and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted or faced temptation from the devil. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus fasted in the power of the Spirit to resist the power of the devil. You've got to go out and prepare for the parenting course. Yeah, God bless you. Thanks for doing that, guys. He didn't fast to get the Holy Spirit. He fasted in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, when he was fasting, and he was able to resist the most intense pressures from the devil because of the intensity of his hunger, because it says he became hungry. I'm hungry on the first day. I feel like I'm dying on the second day. Anybody identify with that fasting? Yeah. And so he before he even faced the devil in temptation, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He received Holy Spirit. Too many people are trying to face temptation without a reliance on Holy Spirit. The bottom line is, church, we need Holy Spirit to deal with temptation, because he is the internal, eternal power source. Here's the trick of the devil. Here's the trick of the devil. The devil will try and tell you you've got to overcome this stuff before you can ever receive Holy Spirit. I want to tell you this. We need to receive Holy Spirit, because Jesus has cleared the way and made it possible for us to receive Holy Spirit. Then we can deal with the works of the devil. not the other way around. The enemy will try and condemn you in your mind to think you're not worthy to receive Holy Spirit. My friends, if you've received Jesus Christ, genuinely received him in your life as your Savior, you've turned your life over to him, Jesus has made you worthy. Everybody say after me, Jesus has made me worthy. It's not my worthiness. It's Jesus' worthiness. It's Jesus' worthiness. Let me ask you this question. Was Jesus worthy to receive Holy Spirit? The answer is yes. Just say yes. So if we're in Christ and our sin has been dealt with in terms of being a sinner separated from God, and we are now in Christ and we're in him, we actually have his worthiness. And was Jesus worthy to receive Holy Spirit? The answer is yes, just say it. We're in him. It's simple as that. But the enemy wants you to think that somehow you've got to get these things sorted before you'll be worthy to receive Holy Spirit. My friends, it's actually the other way around. In the 90s, when that fresh Holy move of the Spirit just swept through the nation, people were looking at young believers who had hardly even started to have their lives cleaned up, and they were getting smashed in the Holy Ghost. And other people had been in the Lord for some time going, hang on. They're not worthy yet. They haven't been in the Lord long enough. They haven't been cleaned up enough. I remember saying to people, how do you think we get cleaned up? We don't get cleaned up in order to gain the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit helps us get cleaned up. And Jesus made the way for us to receive Holy Spirit. Do we get it round the wrong way? Because we're still sometimes a bit too works orientated, a bit too performance orientated, a bit too personal effort orientated. We need Holy Ghost for all of life. We really do. The Sadducees, the Pharisees were rebuked. Really rebuked. Jesus, Matthew 29, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, to the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers of the scriptures. You are mistaken not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And so they were saying things about Holy Spirit and so on. You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. In other words, if you really knew the scriptures, you would be seeking and opening up to the power of God. So the word and the spirit, they're together again. John chapter 7, verse 37. Going to try and rush through this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, John 7, 37 to 39. On the last and great, and that great day of the feast, I'd love to explain that, but I haven't got time. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, or Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus, one of Jesus' key focuses was to complete the course the Father had set out for him, to become that Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world, to be the offering, to clear the way for his followers, his believers, to then receive Holy Spirit, because when they receive Holy Spirit, rivers of living water, rivers of the life of God are going to flow out from their innermost being. And no longer is it Jesus with the river, going around doing good and healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. It's 12, it's 120, it's 500, it's 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, it's 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 100,000, a million, 150 million, 200 million, 450 million, 500, a billion people that are potentially filled with the Spirit, all walking around with rivers of living water flowing out of them. This is God's great plan. to take it from one man who would then have a family who were now qualified to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and out of each one of them would flow rivers of living water. It's not just for a few of us to do things in the gifts of the Spirit. It's for every one of us to be filled and intimate with the Holy Spirit, yielding to Him, hungry for Him, so that those rivers would flow out of us. And I want to tell you, my friend, there's a lot of river in people right now. There's rivers of living water flowing out of so many of you. But I want to tell you, my friends, in the days we're in, it's about to increase. It's about to increase. I believe people are going to experience fresh outpouring, fresh fillings of the Holy Ghost, fresh releases of creativity and wisdom and understanding and power for miracles flowing out of their innermost being, rivers of revelation and love and power and grace to help people, people saved, healed, and delivered because of the rivers of God flowing out of us. It's no longer acceptable to be a churchgoer. The expression of your Christianity is not the fact that you turn up to church once a month, twice a month, and if you're really spiritual, four times a month. The house of God is the place where you meet your family and worship together and celebrate and join together and encourage each other. But all through the week, the river is meant to be flowing out of us. Among challenges, among persecutions, among difficulties. But I'd rather face a difficulty with a river in me than a swamp. I used to love playing in swamps when I was a kid. Big dragonflies down Tiana way there, Manapouri. Big dragonflies. Sometimes, some years, you had to be really careful because you'd stand on the line, but you couldn't see how deep the water was around. We were told that one of the ponds was bottomless. We didn't go near that pond. It wasn't bottomless. But in our minds, we were told it was, so we didn't go near it. But swamps, but I tell you what, as the swamp started to dry, as the dry season, they became really smelly. And then if the animals had been in them as well, there were little round patches of things. And little other little round things. And the water would go stagnant, and then it would become smelly, and then there'd be no fish in it. There might be a few frogs and tadpoles hanging around still, but then it would get too bad for them as well. And that'd just become a smelly place. I don't want to be a swamp. When there's no river flowing in and there's no river flowing out, there's just stagnant water, the remembrance of something from the past, it becomes a swamp. And the reason we need fresh outpourings and fresh flows and fresh releases of the Holy Ghost in our lives is because the bottom line is we can over time, realistically, if we were really honest about it, become a bit of a swamp. But the river that flows never becomes a swamp if the river is allowed to flow and the source is connected with and loved and honored and worshipped and obeyed and yielded to. It never becomes a swamp. So Holy Spirit, I've got so much more and I've used up all my time. But what we're going to do right now, I'm getting a few in the front row to push those seats back immediately. Immediately means quite quickly. And second row probably needs to go as well. I want to call the ministry team up, and anybody, or you just know you're carrying some fire. Heather, I want you up here. I want people who can release fire, release the Holy Ghost to come and stand. We're going to form a prayer tunnel. Because I want as many people laid hands on and imparted to this morning as possible. And what I want you to do, if you're willing to do this, is you start one end and you walk through that prayer tunnel and you allow those people to lay hands on you and release the fire of God and the power of God into your life. Something physical may happen to you. Something physical may not happen to you. But when you come into this prayer tunnel, I want you to come in desiring the Holy Ghost. I want you to come in asking for the Holy Ghost, because how much more if we ask for the Holy Spirit, will the Father give us Holy Spirit? Spirit, and you come in hungering for more of God. You come in with those three attitudes, and something's going to happen in your life. So quickly, team, quickly up here. What the fire releases, come up quick, and get up here. Link hands across the place, people. I'm getting a bossy because I need us to move fairly quickly. Come on up, join up here. There's a gap. I don't want a gap. Father, right now, Holy Ghost, Murray, get in there quickly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hayden, you might as well get in there. Come on. Where are you, PJ? Can you get in there? Oscar and Cleo are out, aren't they? Come on, get in here. Hayden, get in here. What we're going to do, we're going to link hands. Let's all stand, please. I'm getting bossy. We just need to move quickly. If you want to do something else, that's fine. Go and do it. But I'm going to be directing the traffic, all right? Because we're serious about this. Keep moving. Keep people moving. Otherwise, we'll be here until next Sunday.